All right. Well, hey, guys, welcome to the Message Recap Podcast. My name is Pierce. I usually have the privilege of hosting. I also got to teach this past Sunday. So you may be wondering, am I going to have just a monologue with myself? No, I'm actually joined here by two of our very own, Reagan Sturges.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Nailed
Sturges.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to say Sturgill, like Sturgill Simpson. Yes. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes.
And then Pam Plummer, who's making a face. She has no idea who Sturgill Simpson is, but she does know Reagan because Pam also is on our staff. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Pam, you have been here longer than me. Yes. And I was an intern when you were still serving more directly with missions. How many times did you want to not quite kill me, but do like make me disappear into a random island far away that summer?
Oh my goodness, that summer was so long ago. How long ago was that? Like
it was like 9 years ago.
I was about to say 10.
I spray painted letters really badly.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you and Richard remind me of that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Three times a year. Apparently, I'm not good at spray painting, Reagan.
It's okay.
I think there was no time that I wanted to kill you when you were an intern. Now, when you were in with Taylor in choir, yes, maybe several times. I've been here 25 years, so 26.
When I came to work here, I really thought, okay, if there's one person that I think rightfully could hold a grudge on me for my behavior as an adolescent, it was Angela Irby.
It was.
And, of course, she's like the nicest human in the world. Really, so, like, would never. But that's not what we're here to talk about. But we do want to talk about singleness. We're going to approach the Sermon Message Recap Podcast a little bit different for this series. And we're going to start that this morning. And so I asked Reagan and Pam, who I so respect and have got to have conversations with them about singleness the week leading up to it. But just tell us a little bit, as much as you want, just sort of kind of where you're at in life and just if you would be willing, what your singleness looks like. We'll start with you, Reagan.
Either one? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, my name's Reagan. Where I'm at physically, I could joke and say Dallas, Texas, but really—
Richardson.
Well, yes. Richardson, yes. But what is going on in my life is I'm the associate student minister here at the Heights, a journey that I am very honest about. I would never have chosen for myself, but the Lord really just directed my path to where I'm at now. And now that I'm here, and now that He has equipped me and given me the desires that I had prayed for, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And so I've been here at the Heights since November, and it has just flown by. It feels like I've been here so much longer than 5 or 6 months. And given the nature of this conversation, I am single. I'm 23 and single, and I love my life. I love my community that is around me currently, and just the people that I get to spend a lot of time with and grow with right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Reagan.
And I am Pam Plummer, and I have been on staff for 14 years. Longest I've been anywhere, and I've actually been at the church for about 26 years. Longest that I've been anywhere at any church. But this is definitely my home, and I can't imagine being anywhere else. Mm. I was went to school to be a school teacher, and I did that for a little while, and never in a million years would I think that I would have an office job, but I am the operations assistant here at the Heights, and I have many hats that I wear, and I love every single one of them. And I am also single. I'm a little bit older, just a little bit older than Reagan. And I'm 55, and goodness, singleness to me looks a little bit differently than it does for somebody that's 23. Sure. And I, you know, I can't say that I've embraced it 100%. I think it's pretty close to 100%, but
find me the person that's embraced the gift of marriage 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
You're good.
And so you know, your sermon on Sunday about the possibilities, the things that you get to do because you're single, that's definitely true, especially if you're older. And so I have, you know, there are moments that I have that I wish that I was married, but sure. the what God has chosen for me in this life right now, in this season, is to be single, and I'm okay with that. And I actually, again, there are times when I just really, you know, enjoy it, and then there are times that I'm not crazy about it, but I just have to remember that it's like you said on Sunday, I have a purpose in this church, in this life, yeah. in this world, and I need to continue to remember that. So
that's good. That's really well said. Yeah, I think there's, you know, one of the things, and Reagan got to hear a little bit of this as we were sort of doing our run-through feedback time that we do every Thursday. But there's stages of singleness that look really different. And mm-hmm. I knew that it got harder as I was starting to write the message. And so, you know, Pam, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you think, I think you said you've kind of arrived at a place of contentment, right? Well, while still open to whatever the Lord has. Reagan, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You might not quite be at that place, right? And so, yeah. Pam, if you are willing, kind of talk us through, you know, what was the process like of arriving at a place of embracing, like you said, singleness? And you probably embraced it a lot better than you're giving yourself credit for.
100%.
Well, so honestly, I'm going to continue to reference the sermon on Sunday. I went on a mission trip and for a year, 6-8 months, actually, I was privileged to go and do what, you know, 20-something, 18-year-olds and 20-somethings say is a gap year. Yeah. I quit my job and, I was a member here at the Heights, and the Heights supported me as I went to England, and, I sold everything and went and just was like Paul, and, you know, just went to be a missionary and to spread the gospel. And, it was an amazing experience. It was a hard experience. And I think that was, you know, half my life ago, pretty much. And so when I went, I had all of these intentions. I had this expectation of this amazing time, and it's not what I expected at all. And the Lord really worked on me. There was lots of alone time, lots of time in the Word, lots of time worshiping, lots of time praying that I wasn't necessarily used to. I wasn't used to quiet. My family is, you know, we have fun and you know, and I didn't have a lot of and I have a sister, and I didn't have a lot of just time where I could just be by myself, or I didn't want to be by myself. Yeah. That is not my personality. That's where I found myself, was just in quiet spaces where the Lord spoke to me. That's when I realized that the Lord had a purpose for me, in missions. And, it turns out I came back and was maybe 6 or 7 years, that's when I was hired by the Heights to be on the missions team and to actually send people on mission trips. Yes. And so what I thought was a really great experience for me missionally ended up being probably something that I, you know, that was my favorite thing that I've ever done in my life, was awesome. To be able to foster relationships with missional communities and global partners and things like that. And it just was amazing.
Yeah. And it's so cool, Pam, to see how the Lord has uniquely wired you, and yet you use this unique gifting, which may look a little atypical from a calling to missions, but you use that gifting absolutely in a larger call to I still think, missions, even as the operations assistant or mother hen, as we say. Reagan, I'm going off script here. Hope y'all are prepared.
All right.
So, Reagan, you mentioned this on Thursday, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You might be in that place of contentment. Pam would probably say at 23, she wasn't there. And I don't think you have to be necessarily, contentment might not be the right word, but you desire marriage still.
Absolutely.
So how do you reconcile that desire while also trying to remain content and trusting in the Lord's plans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I mentioned this to Pierce and a couple other pastors on Thursday talking about the sermon. And I said, you know, I think that something that I think about a lot is you hear all the time, singleness is a gift and it's the gift of singleness and just embrace the gift. And honestly, all I can say to that is that's awesome. I don't want that gift.
Yeah.
What's the return policy? You know, like that's not what I want. And so I can be honest and say that is a desire I have, is the gift of marriage. And that's something that has been on my heart my entire life. And I, you know, have thought about this and wrestled with this and went to the Lord about it and ultimately have just chosen to really believe what Philippians 2:13 tells me, that I serve a God and I have a God who knows me and who loves me and loves me so much that he's also a God who can change my desires. And so I had to take this desire and I had to take all these thoughts that I was having and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to bring this to you. Here's me being honest with you that I have this desire for marriage. I have this desire to be married someday, but I believe that you're a God that can change my desires.
Yeah.
And so God, this is the desire that I have, but if this isn't your will for my life, would you just remove this desire from me entirely? Because that's the only way I'm going to be able to move forward, Lord. And if this is what you have for my life, if marriage is in the plan and in the works for the future, Lord, would you give me the patience that I need to get there? You know, and so that's where I'm at. That's what I pray through and what I think about a lot. And just ultimately trusting what Ephesians 3:20 says, that the Lord's plan for my life is bigger and better than I could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And I am a planner. I live by my girl planner. I live by my calendar, no matter what, every single day. And I will try to plan and plan and plan. But at the end of the day, no matter what I can think through, no matter what I can dream up, God's plan for my life is bigger and better than I can imagine. And that plan also includes his perfect timing.
Yeah.
His perfect timing is what I want to desire most. And so my prayer has been, Lord, this is my desire. This is what I have. Would you remove it if it's not in the works of my life? But if it is, would you give me the patience to get to what your perfect timing is as well?
That's good.
Yeah. And I also have to add, I was there too.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to ask you that.
I was like, all my friends were getting married fresh out of college. And I'm like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you graduate from college, you found the boy that you wanted to marry.
Yeah.
And you got married out of college. Mm-hmm. And then you started to have a family. And that's the picture. And I think that picture has changed over years. I think our culture is a little bit different now, but back in the day and sometimes today, a lot of times today, that's what you did. You went to college and got your MRS degree. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
Yes. So, that didn't happen for me. And so I was at a point where I was like mad at God, mad at the world, mad at my parents. I don't know why, but just, you know, just so frustrated, you know, and I was like, yes, what's the return? I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I want what everybody else has. And I think that is, that's key in this, is it's not what God wants for everybody else. It's what God wants for you. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get over the fact that, you just mentioned it. It could still happen. Totally. My life is not over, you know? And so I have to rest in the fact that God has this, and he knew from the day I was born, before I was born, that I was going to be here in this room talking about this very thing. So I was there. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely there 100%.
And that's why I wanted both of you in the room, because I think you represent the same demographics in such different stages. And it does look different, and I think that's okay. And you know, on the gift, Reagan, the team on Thursday talked about this a little bit. I acknowledged it in the 11 o'clock. I didn't love the idea of teaching on singleness, because I think the first thing is I knew the value of it, and I'm grateful for any opportunity to be up there. But I think the immediate thought is, okay, another married dude talking about singleness. Now, like Reagan said, and he's trying to tell us that singleness is a gift, when in fact, a lot of the single people are like, okay, if it's really a gift, then why don't we do like swapsies and trade gifts? But as you were saying that, Reagan, I kind of thought, you know, I shared that thing about the vacuum, mm-hmm. the Shark Dynamic Corded Stick vacuum with DuoClean.
Yes.
Incredible vacuum, by the way. It's available at Costco, I think.
Love it.
I just say it because that's where my in-laws get every one of our Christmas presents. But there's legit, like it's an awesome, great vacuum. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say it's $200. There's 100 things I would have done with $200, okay, that I would like more. Yet, my in-laws didn't get me that. They got me a vacuum, which is still incredibly generous. There's purpose in that. But there are, you know, I think it's okay, and maybe there's a way to recognize something as a gift while also longing for maybe another gift, you know, or even seeing something as a gift with purpose. And maybe there's a season of frustration and wishing you had another gift. I think those are all things that I didn't maybe get to communicate as well, but I certainly want to take the opportunity now that there's a legit reason or some legit reasons to be frustrated about your gift and certainly to not hide that from God. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a real temptation when you hear a sermon like mine, you can just kind of go into, okay, that's my gift. I might as well not even talk to God about it because, you know, he's not going to give me another gift. And no, certainly we want and are called to be open and vulnerable with God. Where do you guys think, so on that topic, we can take this a positive or a negative way. Where has the church not been helpful to singles? Or where could the church be more helpful towards the season of singleness? I sent you questions before this, and I haven't asked a single one, so I do apologize.
I was about to say, that wasn't on the list. I just looked at Reagan and was like, I think what they've done that's really good is, you know, and I'm speaking of the church as a whole, not necessarily the Heights, which is not a bad thing. I used to think, well, they don't really have a class for me, so I'm just not going to come. Mm. And this was before I was actually on staff here. And then, too, while I was on staff, there's just no place for me to go. There's not really a good class because all the classes are married. You know, they've got married couples in them, and I just don't want to be in a class with a bunch of married people. And so I have pushed back a little bit in the last 5 years because, you know, I would say this is not, there's no class for me, and then nothing would be done. And so I finally said, David, we need to do something. There is not a class at the 9:30 hour for people like me. And so we started one.
Yeah.
And so that's what you were talking about on Sunday is, you know, I can sit around and wallow in the fact that there's no class for me because I can work on Sunday. I will be here and I will work. I will be here when the doors are open until they lock. I will unlock the doors and lock the doors.
More truth has never been spoken on this podcast than that right there.
But I was like, I used to think, I don't have to work on Sunday, so I'm just not going to go. And then one time I remember somebody, I said something about something being on stage, and somebody said, where have you been? They've been up there for weeks, and I haven't been, I wasn't at church because there was not really anything for me to do. So I just pushed back a little bit and I said, we really need to do this. And I kept bothering David and even the person before him, that's where the conversation started. And so David came in and, you know, we had conversations, we had meetings, and I was there on Sunday. So the class is thriving. Yeah. There's married couples and single women, single men. There's all kinds of people and I highly recommend it. I could just sit around and feel sorry for myself, but instead I got out there and did something. And so I think that listening, it's a good thing and not a good thing. Listening to people in my situation and Reagan's situation. Reagan's got a different situation because her job is Sunday morning. But for me, I needed to be heard. And I think they did. They did a really good job. And David's a mover and and he's listens and he does he takes suggestions. And but I had to go and say, hey, what about this? What about this? And so we've been since, I think it started in the fall, and it's doing great.
It is.
And I love it. I love that I have a place to go and can connect with people that are not my age or my age or older than me, married, single. It's just a hodgepodge of people, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And that class is 237.
233.
It meets in the mezzanine. 233 meets in the mezzanine. You might not know where that is. Our welcome desk, right through the main entrance. Someone would be glad to take you up there. And you might even meet a podcast celebrity in Pam herself.
That's right. That's right. That's
Reagan, awesome. What do you think the church could do better in ministering to singles?
Yeah, I would take this question and kind of give it a spin. I'm kind of thinking about the church as a body as we're talking about this. And I would say that as a church body, in my experience in the past, I feel as though people who are single have often approached this always as, well, why would I want to work on something and work on establishing this community that I don't want to stay in? Why would I want to work on this when this isn't a season that I don't want to be in? But honestly, also, I think that there's a lot of avoidance in being honest about that. You know, I think a lot of us would try to pretend and smile and say that we're content and we're happy and we understand there's a purpose for this. And so I would say that the main issue that I've experienced in the past has always been about honesty, about being honest about, hey, you know what? I'm not content. You know what? I would not like to stay here. But you know what I also know is that the Lord has me here for a reason and that I want to utilize that to the full capacity that He has for me in this time. I understand that this is a gift and that there's significance in it, whether I want the gift or not. And I also understand that gifts also can have an expiration date. You know, you said on Sunday, you didn't even realize that you needed a new vacuum, you know? And so, but it was time for a new vacuum. Yeah. And so now you have this new vacuum, but that's not going to last your entire life. Yeah,
maybe,
sorry.
Because it's really good.
It is a really good one. For most vacuums. It may last for a really long time, but maybe not forever. And so maybe there is another one in store for your family someday.
No, that's a great spin on that.
You know,
it really is.
So I think that's what I think about a lot is, okay, where's the honesty that honestly I have found at the Heights in the community here of just so many honest conversations? And coming out of our discussion on Thursday, all I could think was Pierce could take a whole different spin on his sermon on Sunday. He could ignore everything that we talked about, and I wouldn't care because I am so grateful to be at a church and work at a church where the pastors thought, let's think of people in our congregation who would relate to this sermon. Let's run these things by them and see, and let's get some feedback. And let's think about this to make sure that we are really presenting the truth of the gospel, of course, but we're presenting things that people relate to and that are going to tug their heartstrings, you know, on Sunday. And so all I can think about is how I feel like I found that honesty here at the Heights and how grateful I am for that, because I am someone who naturally have told my friends who would laugh if they heard this. I've told them so many times, yeah, I'm content. It's fine. I'm content. Yeah, yeah. I know. And they know that wasn't the truth. And so I would say something that I feel we as a church body can work on is opening up the spaces to be honest and say, you know what? I don't want to be here. I would love to be in a different season, but I do understand that there's a purpose to this season, and I am seeking to find what that purpose is, and I'm seeking to seek the Lord above all else in it.
I was in the planning meeting for the sermon series, and I was I was like, I want to just get out of this. I want to walk out of this room, and someone said, you need to speak up. You need to say. And that's what I love about what Reagan said, was that you listened to you know, what, I mean, you can preach a sermon all day about singleness without talking to a single person. But the fact that we were listened to and heard, and that you spoke, I didn't know what you were going to say. You were in the run through. I was not, you know, I wasn't aware of what was going to be said, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. And so I love that the Heights listens, just like David listens, and not just listens, but there's action behind that. And that is super, super helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, to be a church that creates spaces of honesty, but then also that,
you know, in this singleness sermon, this was not my idea, but I mentioned earlier that I wasn't really excited about doing it. The reality is I actually was, and I knew that the bar was pretty low. And what I mean by that is I hoped that by us just saying we're talking about singleness this morning felt empowering and life-giving and valuable to our singles. Because as you two know, you don't need me to remind you, we are a suburban Baptist church, okay?
Yeah.
That screams like the highest percentage of married people in every metric. And yet singles are in our congregation, but it's a minority. And I think to stop down and to take a Sunday for that, not only hopefully, and y'all have been sweet to affirm, is empowering to you, but hopefully it helps the rest of us married folks, see and speak value in to that season. Because I asked that question, we can kind of close here unless y'all have anything else, but I really do think that pastors particularly and just the American Western Church have not given the same value to singleness that the New Testament so clearly does. I'll never forget being in a seminary class where the professor said, Paul and Jesus probably wouldn't be hired at most of your churches. And people are like, why?
Wow.
Because they weren't married. And most of you in your churches will have an unspoken job requirement to be married. Wow. That Paul and Jesus didn't meet, couldn't qualify for. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that we've just gotten so far into some of our societal norms, which has inevitably pulled us away from what was a biblical normative, which was singleness, mm-hmm. as well as marriage. And so hopefully through the Spirit, this Sunday can just create in us a culture to where we celebrate this season and view it not as a second class arrangement, because it's not. And to say it is, to think it is, to act like it is to ignore the reality of Scripture, the reality of Paul's life, and Jesus. And so I appreciate y'all's time. Y'all got anything else? I want to give you guys a chance to give a last word if you'd like. No pressure, though.
Yeah, I Reagan alluded to the fact that, you know, when you sit around and I'm encouraging you as well, and I'm preaching to me too. You know, you can sit around and think all day long, okay, poor pitiful me, I'm single, but you're missing out on what God has for you when you're clouded by the fact that every single person, just about every single couple that I know, goes on a date on a Friday night, or like you said, on Sunday.
No, my wife and I.
Dateless wedding.
Babysitters are expensive, Pam. Sorry.
You can do that. You can do that. But, you know, my sister and I have lunch every Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's non-negotiable, pretty much. And so, you know, there are things that you can do that others can't do. And so focus on those things. Yeah. You know, I got to go to Bulgaria for 10 days. It was my first mission trip after being on staff for 12 years. And I sent all these people on mission trips, and I actually got to go to one, you know. And so being gone from your family for 10 days, that's really hard. And so I was just gone from my dog. And so it wasn't as, you know, it is very hard. But I'm just saying that there are opportunities out there for you, and you're going to miss them.
Yeah.
If you don't pay attention to what God has for you, you are going to miss out on the best parts of life that God has for you.
Yeah.
And so again, I'm telling this to myself, don't miss it. Don't miss what God has for you, whether you're single or married or anything, you know, single mom, single dad, you know, widow, widower, whatever, don't miss out on what God has for you, because all you're thinking about is how you're not married. And because there's so much joy in being single. So I highly, highly encourage you to do that.
Pam, that was
good. That was so good. Yeah. I love what you said. You know, I read a devotional a couple years ago that has stuck with me, and I think about on a weekly basis, where I'm so sorry, I don't remember the reference, but it just said, Lord, help me to not get so caught up in the comings and goings of this day and this season that I miss you completely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what you're saying. And that's been a nearly daily encouragement to myself, no matter what I'm thinking about, no matter what I'm longing for. And the reality is that we're always going to be longing for something. you know, and this is a hot topic. Singleness is a hot topic of something that a lot of people long for and long for different amounts of time. But we're always going to be longing for something. And so I love what you said on Sunday, Pierce. You said, no matter what you're still longing for, trust and believe the Lord has given you what you need. Mm. He's given us what we need to get through the season. He's given us what we need to go through this and to wait for desires to change or to wait for it to happen or whatever it looks like, but just trust that he's given you what you need and trust that you are never going to regret choosing God.
Yeah.
You are never going to regret pursuing the Lord first and putting him first in your life, no matter what you do, no matter what you are or aren't longing for, you're never going to regret it. And so what can you do in this season now to chase God? And I think it starts with the honesty. I think it starts with the honesty of, I'm not where I want to be, but Lord, what can you do with me now? What can I do in my walk of obedience to seek you first?
Yeah, that's so good. Thank y'all so much. This is one of the best, because of y'all, most fun I've had doing this podcast. Oh, I love the conversation.
You say that every time.
I've never said it. Never said it once. Not once. And so I really do appreciate it. Reagan, Pam, y'all are a blessing. And thanks again. And I'll see you guys soon.
In the office.
Like 5 minutes.
Today.
Yeah, and I'm still seeing you, so I don't know.
Yes.
But I'm really bad at the sign-off, so signing off.
Signing off.